Would you like to think in English? I'm Joseph. This is Input English. To think in our target language is a goal shared by all language learners. It's something that we all want to do. We want to think in the target language. So how can you achieve an ability to think in English? Well, first of all, some of the people watching this channel already do think in English, because we have viewers on this channel of all different levels, and many people watching this content likely can think in English. But for the rest of us, let's review the three key points that will help us to think in English. There are a lot of details to go with those three points, but there are three key points. So let's get started. Number one, stop studying. Studying a language using traditional methods is baggage. This is a leftover from what we learned in school, and it will not help you establish your ability to think in English. Quite to the contrary, it will interfere in that ability, because studying the language fosters translation. A lot of traditional methods amount to translation. Translation keeps you thinking in your native language and just turns you into a translating robot. And until we get over that behavior, it is very difficult to think in the target language. Stop studying. Well, what do you want to do instead of study? You want to acquire. As I've explained in other videos, the reason traditional methods developed for schools is they were easy to measure. They were easy to mass produce, very easy to test for. Unfortunately, teaching grammar and vocabulary is not effective for people to develop true proficiency with the language or fluency. The more you study, the less likely it is that you will think in your target language. What we should do instead is acquire the language with input. As we approach learning a language with input, we should define some terms. One term that you will hear is immersion. Immersion is where you simply function entirely in the target language. But immersion refers to both input and output. It has been likened to jumping into the deep end of the pool. You sink or swim. Immersion may be necessary if you are in a location where your native language is simply not spoken. You may be indeed in an immersion situation. But for most people, being forced to produce output on day one is not very helpful. It's very stressful and difficult to produce language that you don't yet know. Some cases immersion is necessary, but I wouldn't seek it out. In the 21st century, it has been recognized that you're much better off staging your input before your output. Absorb the sounds of the language. Learn how the words and the phrases sound so that when you're called upon to produce those words and phrases, you can mimic what you have heard. One of the recommendations that you will see online a lot is immersion in the house, immersion at home. The recommendation is that you switch all your devices over to your target language. At some stage in our linguistic development, that may be very good advice, but it's very bad advice for people who are in their early stages of language acquisition. Switching all your devices over to the target language may teach you a little bit, but it's mostly going to give you frustration. And you don't need frustration. So my advice on switching all your devices over to the target language is don't be in a big hurry to do that. There is an exception. That is, if you are in true immersion, if you have an urgent need to acquire the language and you're willing to accept the stress of having everything in the target language, then you can switch them over. For most of us, it's probably better to get 1,000 hours of input before we switch our devices over. Another term that you will hear or see online is silent period. Do we need to have a silent period where we're getting a lot of input by listening and we're not speaking, we're not reading? The answer to that is, it depends. If you are already speaking English and you're already reading, it is completely unnecessary to institute a silent period. If you need to use the English language in your day-to-day for survival, for school, for enjoyment, then a silent period makes no sense. But for many people, the acquisition of a language is done without pressure, without an immediate need to produce output. If that is the case, you might consider taking advantage of a silent period. The advantage of the silent period is it allows you to import the sounds of the language, learn the phonemes, so that when you start producing language, pronouncing words, your pronunciation will be more similar to the native pronunciation. Research in this area has shown that early output and early reading can interfere with the development of excellent pronunciation of the target language. If a silent period fits with your situation, it has some advantages. If you need to speak or you're already speaking, don't worry about a silent period. The key point here is don't study. Don't look up a bunch of grammar rules. Don't spend time poring through a grammar book. Don't try to memorize grammar rules or exceptions. Don't use videos that are focused on grammar rules. Now, don't misunderstand me. Grammar is super important. My point here is that you're better off acquiring the grammar through input as opposed to memorizing explicit grammar rules. The same thing goes for vocabulary. It is essential to develop an excellent vocabulary in English. But if you just memorize lists of words, they won't stick. You won't be able to use them. You'll just create problems with yourself, and you will reinforce thinking in your native language. Don't study. Acquire. Number two, if you want to start thinking in English, power it with large amounts of input. You can't control how quickly your mind acquires a language. A lot of this is being done at the subconscious level, and you don't have willful control over your subconscious mind. But that said, your subconscious mind is incredibly powerful, so if we let it do its job, it will produce great results. It's just hard to control. Now, what you can control is the intensity of your input. Don't misunderstand that I am telling you what to do here. These are just suggestions. You do what's right for you. You can choose how much input to get each day. Research and experience on this topic suggest that a very intense program of input is associated with thinking earlier in the target language. This was very much the case with me. I chose to get 3.5 hours per day on average of input each day, every day. I used habits to do this and the necessary willpower to make sure I got up to that metric. I really wanted the results. I found myself dreaming in Spanish, just like the website and the YouTube channel, Dreaming Spanish. I found myself dreaming in Spanish, and I took that as evidence that my subconscious mind was heavily engaged in this learning process. If you can only afford an hour or less of input each day, then so be it. That's what you can do. But if you can afford enough time to get a lot of input each day, every day, you'll find that your subconscious mind gets recruited. You don't have direct control of your subconscious mind, but you can power this process with a lot of input. The amount of input you have is completely within your control. Number three, factor in output. This channel is all about input because input is something I can create in content and provide to you to stream or download and use. I can't produce output for you. So it is natural that my efforts on the Input English channel are entirely on the input side because that's what I can do for language learners. So since output is your decision within your control, the question is, how do you adaptively factor in output for your advantage? The first recommendation on this is don't be in a big hurry to produce output unless you are forced to. If you're already speaking, you're already reading, or if you need to use English in the day-to-day, then so be it. Produce output. But if you don't need to use English, if you're not already speaking and reading, then don't be in a big hurry to produce output. I think in terms of about a 90-10 ratio. It is well recognized that one needs a lot more input to learn a language than one needs to produce output. Now, don't get me wrong. Output is essential. It's actually the goal. This whole effort that we're going through is so that we can produce output. So I don't shun output. I just need to put it in perspective. If you are someone proficient in the English language, then output is indeed the goal. The more, the better. In that setting, output is fantastic because it stimulates a lot more input. If you talk to someone, they're going to talk back to you, and whatever they say to you will be input. What I'm talking about here is the stage of the language learner who is striving for proficiency, trying to become proficient at producing output. I think in terms of 90% input, give or take, and 10% output, give or take. But that's only at the stage that you're striving for proficiency. I also would suggest that most of the input should occur before you push the output. In my journey with Spanish, my first 1,500 hours with the Spanish language were 100% input. It was after 1,500 hours that I started speaking to people. That worked out very well. When it comes to the question of how to initiate output, there's been a lot of discussion on this. Traditional methods that we learned in school would require you to produce output on day one, and it would require you to use and pronounce words that you didn't know. That was very frustrating, and it results in poor pronunciation. that we don't want to do. If you force yourself or someone forces you to produce output too early, it can cause a lot of stress. It can hurt our self-confidence. So I would caution you against forcing yourself to produce output before you seem to be ready. In terms of the mechanics of how to start output, we've talked about that in other videos. I like a stepwise, minimal stress approach, and that's what I used in Spanish. Number one, I started reading aloud. That got me used to producing the sounds of the language, pronouncing the words correctly, and it got me used to the language coming out of my own mouth. Because I was reading printed material, I didn't have to compose sentences to express myself at the same time that I was working on pronunciation. After a lot of reading aloud, I started talking to myself. In the very beginning of this activity, I found it quite frustrating, but not embarrassing. There's a difference. Frustration is when you're by yourself and you're trying to do it and it's hard. Embarrassment is when you're in front of someone else and you become self-conscious. And I separated those two. So when I was walking by myself or driving by myself, I would just speak. I would say random words, random phrases. I would also identify objects I saw, and then I would express what I thought about that. What color was it? Was it big or small? Did it seem good or did it seem bad? On my walks, I would do the same thing. I would discuss things, and sometimes I would refer to things in the present tense. That is a tree. There is some grass here. Or I might say, that tree was there yesterday, and the grass was taller here, but someone has mowed it. So you can see I've factored into my output present tense, past tense, and of course we can use future tense. The nice thing about doing this by oneself is twofold. One is it eliminates embarrassment, and two, you can turn it into a game. We have to remember that one of the richest playgrounds in which we can play is the human mind. And if you can turn output into a little mental game and entertain yourself, you'll be unstoppable. Of course, the last phase of output is to talk to native speakers. In my case, I don't have a lot of opportunities to do that. And because I don't have an urgent need to do that, I've not sought out those opportunities. I am considering a trip to Spain in 2026. In anticipation of that trip to Spain, you can bet I'm going to find plenty of opportunities to speak with native Spanish speakers so that when I arrive in Spain, my level of proficiency will be quite good. That's my plan. So I've shared these three methods, these three strategies for thinking in English, and now let's tie them all together because they are related. These three behaviors that I've talked about recruit your subconscious mind. In school, we are taught to learn things explicitly. Learn a fact, frequently isolated fact or minimally connected fact. Get it into our short-term memory, and then by repetition and drills and testing, we try to push that newly acquired information into our long-term memory. In language learning, we become very effective and very powerful if we can recruit our subconscious mind. Good input will do that. Large volumes of input will do that. output will do that. So what we're really trying to do here with these three strategies is get a lot of input and recruit the power of our subconscious mind. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.